Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
B-Pod Studios.
These guys know how to connect with you about Boston sports.
This may feel strong, but you people are stupid.
OMG. It's Felger and Maz. 95 The Sports Hub.
So the Cowboys accorded one last snap from the Dallas 15, delivering to Prescott. He dances in the pocket. He throws it out to the left. It's caught by Cooper, trying to lateral. Could not get it off. He's sandwiched down by a pair of Patriots, and that's the ball game. New England wins it over the Cowboys, 13-9 here at Gillette.
All right, hi, everybody. Welcome to the program. Felger and Maserati on a Monday, November 25th. Patriots win again yesterday over the Dallas Cowboys. We're here to talk about it. Maz alongside in the Maz chair, Murray in our update studio here from our Town Fair Tire Studios in Dorchester. Anthony.
Good, you.
James.
Hi.
What do you think of that one?
What do I think? Here's what I think. I think if the Dallas Cowboys had a coach, they'd be a threat to win the Super Bowl. That's what I think. To me, yesterday's game was more about Dallas than it was about the Patriots.
I was going to say, it said more about Dallas than New England.
Absolutely it did. The Cowboys moved the ball better than the Patriots did. If the Cowboys didn't turn the ball over and have a punt blocked, you know, which is effectively a turnover, they win that game. Ineptitude. Dallas ineptitude. Now, I'm not telling you the Patriots were bad, because the Patriots were as they've been all year. They're challenged on offense, particularly with a couple of receivers out of the lineup. The conditions were absolutely god-awful. So I think you saw that on both sides in terms of the inability to catch the football on any sort of consistent basis. But the Patriots are, again, we know they're a defense-first team now. And just if you care, fun stat.
Fun fact.
Starting in 07, which is the year they became an offensive juggernaut, okay, entering this year, the Patriots were 7-18 when scoring 17 or fewer. 7-18. We talk all the time about you set the conditions and the parameters. The Patriots always win 70% of the time. For that 12-year period, they did not win 70% of the time when they were held 17 or fewer. 7 out of 18.
They did not win low scoring games.
7 out of 25, rather, okay? This year, they're 3-0. Okay, so this is who they are now. It's the first time they've won three games like that in a season since 03.
You still okay with it?
I'm totally fine with it. Again, they had the ball in the middle of the field the whole game yesterday. They were barely pinned in their own end because their defense was so good. So, again, I accept that part of it. But yesterday was about Dallas, specifically the coach, but Dallas in general, boy, are they inept.
What specifically with the coach?
Just the, I would say the decision making overall and the sloppy play of his team.
How about just the lack of balls,
particularly on third down? Like I look at their third down plays yesterday, penalties, turnovers, and then like stupid
throwing short,
stupid plays. They are balls is right, Murray. They're ballless. They have no balls.
I mean, just
zero.
Just the decision late in that game when they finally penetrate the deepest they were all game for a field goal? What are you doing? 6 and change left in the fourth quarter? I mean, even if you don't pick that up, you've pinned the Patriots' offense, which had issues all day long and will continue as now for weeks. It was foolish. So, yeah, I think the Cowboys in their ineptitude, and that starts at the top with Garrett, who's a complete moron. You'd have a better chance of winning that game if you were coached by a roll of paper towels. That plays into it, but it's more about the Patriots' defense. I mean, they are legit. That team is one of the highest scoring teams in the NFL, and I know the weather played a factor, but they just continue to show that they are legit. I know they played so many bad teams earlier in the season, but I don't think you can doubt what the Patriots' defense is.
So that thing came through that we talked about last week. Change the coaching staffs. It's a different game. You feel that way?
No question.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, no question. Again, I just look at it and say, how do you beat the Patriots? This incarnation of the Patriots now. I'm not talking about Patriots in past years. I'm talking about bad weather game up in Foxborough. You get the best running back in the league.
Well, I mean, I think the way to beat the Patriots is the way it's always been, which is you got to be bold. You got to go after them. You got to go get them.
Yeah, except I don't think that yesterday was that kind of day. I think the conditions were awful.
But settling for that field goal?
Yeah, how'd you feel about going for the field goal?
Stupid.
There? Okay, so that's sort of what I mean.
Okay, but I'm talking about running versus throwing. That's what I'm saying. The Patriots, I'm still not convinced that they can stop the run with a team that really commits to it. I thought the Eagles got away from it last week. I thought Dallas, for whatever reason, Dallas had a 3rd-and-1 yesterday at one point. It might have been early. And threw the ball in absolutely horrible passing conditions.
Well, they had a 3rd-and-1 late that they threw to Elliott, picked it up, and that was the second tripping
right,
call
correct.
On Dallas.
Correct.
So even...
See, that one didn't bother me as much because that was effectively a running play. Like, you know, at least they put the ball in Elliott's hands and got him in a little bit of space.
But still, I think that's sort of the hidden fact in that just atrocious call, that tripping call. They sort of asked for it by putting him back to pass.
So good point. In fact, Aikman said it in the broadcast.
You know, like you
said,
know,
I'd expect him to line up and run there.
Yeah, I mean, you're far less likely to get a penalty on a 3rd-and-1 when you're smashing forward than you are even on a short dump off. You sort of set him up for what happened there.
Oh, stupid! They're so stupid and gutless. And I just think, really, I looked at the Cowboys and said that, you know, they get down in the red zone finally and they kick a field goal down 7. So they got to go down and get a touchdown anyway? Holy crap, is that the stupidest thing I've ever seen?
So, oddly enough, I agree with Jerry Jones. I think the coaching showed up much the most in special teams. The most in special teams. And this is, you know, we can get into this. I do think Bill overemphasizes special teams in that I don't think it's a third of the game when you stretch it out over the whole season. It was a third of the game, if not more, yesterday. You know, for one off week. And I think that's where it showed up. I think Jerry Jones was right about this. The Dallas Cowboys all game couldn't field the ball, whether it were punts or kickoffs. Do you know Dallas didn't have a single fair catch? You punted 6 times. They let the ball hit the ground every single time. How many kickoffs did they let hit the ground?
Oh, my gosh. There was that one late in the game, too, that landed out by, like, the 20, and 2 guys let bounce right by him.
Because they couldn't figure out, you know, wind, no wind, and letting it drop. So the Patriots, to me, this was the key to the game. The Patriots' average start was at their 41-yard line. Dallas's average start was at their 21-yard line. And that's it. That was a field position game. Your average start was your 41. Their average start was their 21. And I think that all played into it. They did not field a single punt. Bailey punted 6 times. You only had 1 fair catch, but they had... Dallas had 3 kickoff returns for a total of 6 yards. 3 kickoff returns, 6 yards. Which means they're basically just falling on the ball. Because they couldn't, they're just not smart enough. And like, so I say this all the time. I think Bill overemphasizes special teams. It's not a third of the game. I disagree with him there. But bad coaching shows up in the kicking game. Because that's attention to detail. It's simple. You know, is the head coach buried in his play sheet because he's calling either the offense or the defense? He doesn't care about the rest of the operation, or he's just a glorified coordinator, or he's a complete dolt like Jason Garrett. Either way, a head coach who does not have command of the operation, doesn't pay attention to the kicking game, doesn't think to say to the guy in back, move up! The wind's against you, move up!
Right, particularly into the wind, it was so obvious.
And it's as simple as that. And Garrett is so out to lunch, and then that's just where it shows up. And Bill thinks about everything and's got it all, and the wind through the Oculus and all the things that we talk about. He's over all of it. And I feel like 3/4 of the coaches in the league don't even...
They do. Yeah, they do. They tune it out. They just ignore it, and they just add the other kicking game. Let's just not screw it up, and we'll be fine.
Which pains me to give Bill like the credit on the special teams. The one thing I'll argue with you to the death is how he pays for it. He pays too much on special teams. It's about coaching. Jerry Jones is right. That's about coaching. You shouldn't have to pay for it past a guy like Matthew Slater, who's, I think, worth the money. But you shouldn't have to pay the guys to run down and cover the punts. You should just coach them. Coach them. It's not that complicated.
I mean, not really. That was utterly inept. It was utterly inept all over the place. Dallas played pretty good defense yesterday, I thought.
Yeah, they were fine. I mean, offense, defense, they were fine.
Yeah. I wouldn't say, you know, offensively, I don't know if I'd go to fine, but because, again, I didn't love the play calling, and they had some big penalties, although we can debate whether a couple of them were penalties. But that aside, defensively, they did perfectly fine. How many points did the Dallas defense give up yesterday? Realistically.
3?
Okay, right again. What block punt that led to a touchdown, a turnover that led to a field goal, and the other field goal was after they took 20 yards in penalties on special team, or they lost 20 yards off a punt on special teams because they got two penalties.
They couldn't figure out that you didn't have a guy in back to catch the punt.
As far as I'm concerned, they didn't really give up much of a point. Really, they might. You might be right. You might be able to say one field goal. Dallas defense didn't really give up a point yesterday. That was unbelievable.
What about the touchdown to Harry?
No, but I'm saying that was after the block punt.
That was after the block punt. It was a short field.
You're giving him the ball on the 10-yard line, for crying out loud, right? Like, you know, that's all I'm saying is that the Patriots...
Yeah, there's no drive, but still, it was a hell of a grab by the kid.
There wasn't a single drive the whole game. Not one.
So your first 10 points, the touchdown came off the block kick. You got it at the 18. Then your next 3 points, I mean, the 10-0 lead was the ball game. You got the second three. You intercepted Prescott at the 26. A great play by Stephon Gilmore.
It was not
taken away from him. But
terrible throw.
Maz is talking about the Dallas defense.
Yes, the Dallas defense didn't do anything wrong in that game.
I mean, so you could have said hold the first one to a field goal, but that's about as much as you could ask for.
No, really. What did the Patriots have, 280 yards in the game or something?
It was field position and kicking game.
Totally.
Is how you got there.
Yeah, so again.
And that's all coaching.
Which I'm okay with the Patriots winning that kind of game because I know they can win it. You know, when it's low scoring and tight and bad weather, I'm confident in them because I feel like they're not going to give up a touchdown drive. They're too good defensively and they're too disciplined on special teams. So I'm okay with them winning that way. I think Dallas was inept. Inept for the players that they have on that team. To play the way that they play is inexcusable.
Yeah, but you shouldn't be surprised by that because they've been under Garrett for the last decade.
Yeah, I'm not. I'm just, when you watch it.
It's unbelievable because they are extremely talented, but they're dumb. Wow, what a mediocre crap team. Like, it wouldn't shock me if the Eagles, even though they suck and Wentz sucks, they end up winning the NFC East.
I mean, that's how I feel, too. The game's in Philly when they play the next time, right? Not to get on that road.
How do you feel about the Patriots offense?
I actually am a little more encouraged today than I was a week ago.
I was going to say, better, worse, or the same?
Better.
A little bit better.
Yeah, a little bit better.
Me too.
Yeah, a little bit better.
And I didn't feel all that awful last week. I didn't feel awful as many people. If Brady continues to go to the kids, they'll be there. They'll make a play or two for you. You don't need to put 40 on the board. And I like to think those kids are going to get better. I like to think if Brady continues to look to them and just trust them a little bit, they'll have enough. I continue to think that. The running game was better last
week. Yeah, absolutely. Totally. That's the big thing, right? Like, I'm just looking at the numbers right now in the passing game. I thought Brady was better than 4 for 9 throwing to Myers. It felt better than that. I'm not saying it was great, but I thought it was better than 4 for 9. Even so, it's a bad day to gauge the passing game because nobody could catch the freaking football yesterday.
But I'm glad I'm not alone there because I actually thought Brady had a sneaky good game considering the weather and the drops.
Yeah.
His arm looked strong. Accuracy was on point. Pocket presence seemed like it was better than it was in a little while. Again, the weather, the drops, that didn't help, but I thought he was pretty good.
Yeah, he
threw a few lasers.
He did. That one ball he threw to Myers where he got drilled, that was a great pass.
And the one that Harry dropped on the sidelines was
excellent.
A great ball.
I thought that was his maybe best the throw. Best ball of the day, yeah.
That pissed me off.
He was more than fine. I thought Brady was more than fine. Deceiving day. You really can't tell by the points on the board or even some of the numbers because of the conditions. But I think Brady was just more than fine. And I think the offense can be more than enough for what they need, because of that defense, which is firmly back on track after getting poleaxed in Baltimore. Are you back in buying fully on the Patriots defense, Maz?
Yes and no.
You hesitate.
I do hesitate.
Hold on. Let's mine the hesitation.
All right, fine. Let's mine the hesitation.
Mine the hesitation and talk to the people.
Let me get my auger.
Right after these words from our sponsors.
Sometimes they're hot on the topic.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
Felger and Maz, 95, the Sports Hub.
Head eye snap to Jones. Under the first block. Three's high in the air. Jonathan Jones is there to knock it down. Try to pick it up. Don't dive on it. Jones has it for the Patriots at the 13-yard line. The ball squirted free. And regardless, the Patriots will have possession. Jones was on it on the turf at the 13. The ball came loose in the end, but the Patriots take over nonetheless after another block punt.
Once again, a punt block, key play of the game for the Patriots. To your calls here in a second. First, Maz, why the hesitation on the Patriots defense?
Because I still think if a team accepts the reality that you're going to play a low, tight scoring game, you can beat the Patriots in 2019 by running the ball if you have a good running game. I still believe that. And I think Dallas was running effectively yesterday with Zeke. I do. And for whatever reason, at the key moments, they elected not to really give him the ball.
Like, for example.
Okay, so again, I just found one in the second quarter. Okay, they get down inside the Patriots' 10-yard line. Okay, and they've got a first and 10 at the 14. So just give me a second. They get down close to the 10. First and 10 at the 14 with 4 minutes to go in the second quarter. It's a 10-3 game at that time. Elliott picks up three. They took him out of the game.
Yep.
They took him out of the game and put Pollard in. Then they handed off to Pollard and lost yardage. And then they threw a little dump off to Pollard and gained 2 yards, and they kicked the field goal.
I love that one.
And it's 10-6. So I thought maybe on the previous play, I said maybe I forgot something. Like, did Elliott have a big play or something? He was tired and had to come out for a play or whatever. And it was a penalty on the Patriots on a completion to Gallup. Dietrich Wise got a roughing the passer call on top of it.
How'd you like that one?
Oh my gosh, this guy's a knucklehead.
What an idiot.
2 weeks in a row.
I wrote down, I'd be surprised if we see him next week.
Seriously, the week before he got hands to the face and they pulled him out of the game right away. This time it's, let me stick my shoulder into the quarterback. What a jackass. So Dallas gets down the field, right? Again, but from a completion and a penalty, they hand off to Elliott and then they take him out of the game. Why? What? Why? Why would you do that? That made no sense to me. And they settled for 3 points. That's just stupid. And I thought Elliott ran well in the Patriots yesterday. It was over 4 yards a carry. Like, to me, you got a guy like that in a line like that, that's where they're vulnerable. Exploit it.
Okay, so that's Maz's hesitation on the Patriots defense. Any hesitation out there on anything, whatever you want to talk about, to you, as promised. Tim in Quincy. What do you got, Tim? Lead us off.
Yeah, guys. I thought, like you said, Phil, that Brady had kind of a sneaky good game. Although the Kellermans of the world are looking at stats for whatever reason, and they don't know what he's working with. I think, though, going forward, I think Wynn was the big difference on the offensive line, and we ran for just as many yards as Dallas did.
Okay, so your Kellerman thing, I mean, is Brady having a great year?
No.
No. So, I mean, I don't know what... I'm not sure what to argue. I thought he looked pretty good yesterday.
Yeah.
I thought he looked pretty good yesterday, and I think his reduced stats are clearly more a function of the state of the team than him. And I think that's just obvious if you watch him a lot. I don't think there's really much to debate there. I don't. The Isaiah Wynn, I mean, I haven't gone over the all 22, and we'll wait for the big fella to come in tomorrow, you know, to really break that down. But it felt like it was better. I mean, the first play of the game, I mean, they ran over left side a couple times on that very first drive, and Michelle got going, and I felt Brady had a hair more time, I think.
Yeah.
No?
Well, so this is the narrative I'm not really buying. Like, ooh, the offensive line's magically fixed. Okay, it was better in the running game, and totally when they were running left behind Wynn. But I still thought the pass protection was mostly garbage. I really did. That's Brady buying time for himself. I thought Shaq Mason was mostly to blame for that. He looked like he regressed because he had a good week last week. He was brutal. So I don't know. In the pass protection, I still don't think that the offensive line's all that great.
I thought it was a hair better. The remember the 3rd and 20 they picked up?
Yes,
where Brady, Brady sort of sidestepped. Was that Wynn who picked up the block right there on the left edge and Brady sort of stepped inside of him and bought that extra time to pick that up?
I don't remember, but probably.
I think it was, and I remember saying to myself when I saw that, I meant to go back and just double check that that was Wynn. I believe it was. That's not happening with Newhouse.
No, and at the very least, even if it's a small thing, I say a small thing in terms of statistically how it shows up, Brady trusts Wynn. He had that comment last week to Jim Gray again where he says, you know, he has the trust of his teammates. And Brady wouldn't just throw that. He'd only been out there in 2 games. But Brady clearly thinks the kid can play.
Yeah, he feels better. I don't think there's any question he feels better with him out there. Jordan in Florida, what do you got for us, Jordan?
What did you guys think about how Stephon Gilmore played? Because I thought it was impressive to shut down Amari Cooper. And even without Jason McCourty, I think as long as Gilmore continues to negate the opponent's top receiver, I don't see how any team will be able to throw the ball effectively against them.
A huge factor. I mean, if a team has, well, backs and tight ends, Stephon Gilmore can't really help. You can put him on one of the tight ends, which I think you saw the week before against Kelsey. Ertz. So I think that if there's a singular tight end, Gilmore can match up there. But back to the Baltimore thing,
I mean, you're not really...
It's a bad matchup.
Andrews, who's the other kid? Like, there's sort of pick your poison there. There's not really a go-to guy there. And so I think that's how you mitigate the page. But, you know, even if you've got a good, you know, Jonathan Jones inside is terrific. Although Cobb made some plays.
He did.
Jones is terrific inside. Gilmore is terrific outside. You got to be able to throw to your backs and tight ends to throw on those Patriots defense.
No question. Gilmore yesterday, I thought yesterday he was the best player on the field. He took Cooper right out of that game. Cooper was a non-factor in that game.
Puss. Joe and Pittsfield. I'm talking about Cooper. Joe and Pittsfield, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, guys, I've been looking at one thing. I think something's wrong with Edelman. It looks like he's got a problem with his shoulder or something. I was just wondering if you guys saw something like that.
He definitely has a problem with his shoulder.
It's maybe my biggest concern for the team on the offense right now, more than anything else. He can't even lift that left arm over his head. And there was one that was a little high. It wasn't the best throw by Brady, but under normal circumstances, Edelman makes that catch.
And he's had problems with those high balls the last couple of weeks. The alligator arm, the first one in Philly the week before, and I, you know... But now there's a theme developing there. I think when he's got to outstretch there, he's coming up short on these balls that he usually gives a better effort on, and I think it's that shoulder. He can't lift that arm.
I don't think there's any question. Yep, he's not right. Remember early in the year, too, he had that thing with the thumb? So, you know, hand and shoulder. Like, not a good combination if you're a possession receiver.
All right, is there something going on out there with Antonio Brown? Because Jack in the car, go. Jack!
Guys, I got a question, and it's one of confusion on my part. So NFL teams renegotiate contracts all the time. So why couldn't they write something into a contract for Antonio Brown where they simply say that we're going to sign you, but in the event you go on to the commissioner's list, well, then we're not going to pay you.
Yeah, I just think that they'll know that before they sign him, that they'll work in conjunction with the league to say, if we sign this guy, are you going to put him on that list? And before any team signs him, they're going to have that all cleared up. I think. Joe in New Hampshire, yes, what are your thoughts?
Hello?
Yes, Joe, you're on the air.
Hey, what's going on? Hey, you know what I wanted to call in about Antonio Brown? This is my take on it. I'll say this quick. I think he should get a second chance. I really do. And what I think is he realized he can't mess with the Patriots. He realizes that.
What do you mean?
And I think How
can he not mess with the Patriots? He killed it. They owe him $10 million for like 5 days of work.
All right. Let's go down that road. What I'm trying to say is the Patriots can get that back.
No, well,
that's what I think. See, Brady's done so much for this team, right? You know that. I know that. The world knows that. And I think he needs help. And all he wants to do is win a Super Bowl for us. And he will be, if he ever retires, I hope he comes back to the Patriots in some aspect.
Okay, Joe, I'm just going to let you go.
Is
there something happened with Antonio Brown today? Because they got two calls on the board.
Not that I've seen. I just think it's paranoia of the offense looking the way it's looked for the last couple of weeks, and people are freaked the F out.
Okay.
Listen, I'm sorry, Mike.
Myers and Harry were there for plays to be made. And if you keep going to them, they're going to make those plays. The next time Harry's going to catch that ball on the sidelines, or he'll be, if you keep going to him and have trust in him, he's going to get better and he's going to come up with that ball. If not the next time, the time after, and that's the way it works with young players. They get better when you show trust in them and you say good things about them, which Brady has done since that game. That's the way that works. Jacoby Myers, the next time he's not going to look at the safety as he's about to get throttled and drop the ball, he's going to hang on to it. Maybe if not the next time, the time after. And I think you're far better off working with those players, getting those guys to improve, than bringing that cretin back into your mix.
Yeah, I don't want the guy back. I don't want him back. And I'm okay with what they've gotten. I would also say that yesterday is not the... I mean, I have some concerns about their passing offense, but I wouldn't use yesterday as the barometer. They were without Sanu, they were without Dorsett, and the weather was horrendous. And they still had drops, right? So I'm cutting,
right, the plays were still there.
Right. I'm cutting them slack a little bit because of the weather and everything else. But, because it's been a season-long problem with the passing offense. But so yesterday was just a horrendous day to throw for both sides. Dallas had a lot of difficulty with it, too. Those guys couldn't hold on to the ball either, for crying out loud. It wasn't as bad as the Patriots. But even so, the tight ends, Witten, for crying out loud, couldn't catch the ball.
the latest in the world of sports right here with Murray in the update, and then we're back with more.
Felger and Mass.
Wow.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Third and a long two. High snap off the hand of Prescott. Gathers it inside, arms to the near side. Intercepted by Diving Gilmore. A lazy throw by Prescott.
Nice chuck.
Picked off by
Prescott.
Gilmore in front of Cooper at the Cowboy 29.
A sad, pathetic throw by Prescott.
Sorry, that was a bad ball by Prescott. Great play by Gilmore.
Oh, the whole sequence was a bad snap and then just a lazy, terrible throw.
Okay. Also, but still, I won't take anything away from Gilmore on that play. That was...
Oh, a hell of a play.
High degree of difficulty. I was still impressed with Prescott. I came away saying he's better than I previously thought. I know he's had a good year and I've watched him this year, you know, have some really good games. But he had some good balls too yesterday.
I agree.
I mean, I think he really did.
He wants to throw first, which is good.
And I think that he's now dangerous at the second level of the defense that I never really gave him credit for. And again, yesterday, horrible conditions. That long one to Randall Cobb was a beauty of a ball.
He threw another good one to Gallup too.
That went down down the left sidelines. That then got popped loose, and Randall Cobb picked it back up in the air. That was that play. He had one to Gallup over the middle. He had one to Cobb over the middle on their last drive. Coming out of their end zone where he got throttled. You know, Prescott got popped right when he let go of the ball, and he had Cobb over the middle. And so he had some, to me, and the 4th-and-11 throw to Cooper should have been caught. And that was almost a big play there. So I think Prescott's really improved throwing into that second level. He's still got some, you know, the consistency, I don't know, is there. The interception was a bad ball. He missed Cobb rolling left to his left side early in the game.
Badly, he missed him.
Wide open at the stakes, and he missed him badly on that throw.
But there were a bunch of quarterbacks. This has nothing to do with the Patriots game. There were a bunch of quarterbacks around the league that had trouble with those throws yesterday. Wentz had a horrendous one in the Philly game, and Russell Wilson had one going to his right. All these little just flip throws that were 10 yards over the receiver's heads. It was ridiculous. But anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, so he missed that one. He could have been intercepted by Gilmore again in the end zone. So not that Prescott was perfect, but late, he threw some balls into the second level that were high quality, could have brought him back. Could have brought him back if they were just a little more finely tuned. So I was overall impressed with Prescott as well. All right, back to the phones. As promised, Josh or John in D.C., what do you got for us, John? Be quick.
Hey, guys, just Felger, remember a couple weeks ago your whole station was railing on Josh Allen. Josh Allen sucks. Tenure is there. Josh Allen sucks. Give it a rest, fellas. I know it's been a while, but you know that Bills week is coming up again, and you guys are wrong. You're missing the boat.
Okay,
the whole boat.
Hey, John.
Getting better every week.
John, Josh Allen sucks.
Yeah, Josh Allen does suck.
Thank you. Go ahead.
He sucks. He sucks. He's terrible. He can't throw.
Did Buffalo play yesterday?
Terrible Denver team in Denver. Buffalo, Denver. Please.
Yeah, and didn't he also whip one that was about 10 feet over someone's head for an interception? It wasn't even close. He blows, please. Good luck with him as your quarterback. You're going nowhere.
Big arm stiff who can't read a defense.
Okay, so I don't think that went anywhere, caller. Sorry about that. Wes in the car. What do you got, Wes?
Yeah, three quick things. Unfortunately, you're right with the running back. Sony Michel had giant holes, and there was major hesitation that he should have just, one of those should have been broken up for a touchdown. Number two, Folk, even though he couldn't miss anything or make anything over 35, the rain, the factor, that could be promising. It was almost Vinatieri-esque. He was kind of kicking line dresses, something maybe to build on.
Okay,
and the third thing, and the third thing, you guys got to lay off Brady. This guy's put in 20 years of just hearing everything. He's tired. He's fed up with it. So
okay, babe, no cacos. We're not going to lay off Brady. We're not going to lay off anyone.
Nick Folk's Vinatieri now.
Okay, so when he said Vinatieri-esque, I don't know if he meant like good thing or bad thing, because Vinatieri's fallen apart here late in his career. I think Nick Folk, even with his two misses yesterday, had a good day for you. That third make was a big make, 42 yards into that end of the stadium, give you that 4-point lead. That was a big kick.
I'm okay with Folk. I feel like their kicking operation is back to being, dare I say, professional. No, that doesn't mean he makes every one, but with Nugent, it was a clown show. It was a freaking clown show with Mike Nugent here. So it's at least back to being something respectable. He's a real kicker. Is he Gostkowski in his prime? No. But you know what? Given where they were, I'll take it.
Yeah, he's going to hit the intermediate kicks. I feel good about that. Anything beyond like 45, I don't feel great about that.
And the ball looks right.
But
The conditions yesterday.
Horrible.
Going into that end, he made his kicks.
Yeah.
And the last one was a big one. The last one was an important kick.
Did he miss two or one?
Two. He missed two. He missed one right before the half. That was 48 yards going into that end. Really tough kick. I don't even think they expected him to make it. It was just the last play of the half, so what the hell. Give it a shot. Give it a go. But the last one was one you got to have. I think it was 42 yards to give you that. Well, at the time, was it either
13-6, I think.
Yeah, maybe 7 points at that point. But either way, that was a big kick. Here's Rabimus. I'm sorry, I can't pronounce your name. In North Kingston, go ahead.
Yeah, it's Rabimus, sorry. But I was thinking, do you guys think it's time for the Patriots to finally give up on Philip Dorsett? Like, I personally think we should have drafted N'Keal Harry and DK Metcalf because it would have brought some type of physicality to our wide receivers. Like, the only person that is actually physical on our receiving roster is Edelman, and he's hurt all year long. So we needed somebody. We can see that Philip Dorsett isn't the answer, so I don't know.
He's not physical, Rodimus, but
good route runner.
I like him.
To the ball.
I like him. Don't give up on him. Don't give up on him. He'll be there. He was there for you last year in the playoffs. Gets open, catches the ball. And if they stick with Harry and Brady continues to stick with Harry and Sanu comes back, those are two size, more physical receivers. You should have something there to work with.
Yeah. Harry. Oh, sorry, Maz.
No, I'm okay. I'm okay with Harry and Sanu. I don't need DK Metcalf on top of it.
Yeah, that touchdown catch showed you that Harry has the ability. This is all I want to see. Just use him in the red zone. Like, I don't care if he's not that great of a route runner right now. I might not know the playbook as well, but he can box a guy out and get up and get it.
That second route, too. Have him, you know, run off a guy and throw it to him on the sidelines. He should have caught it.
He should have had three catches.
Next time he will.
Even the one at the pylon, you know, look, it was a tough...
Maz, I agree.
What a great throw by Brady that was.
What
a great throw.
But it would have been a tough catch, but that's why they drafted you there.
Ball went right through his hands.
Go get the ball. Well, high point it.
And Beadle was saying it, too. It's almost like he's contorting his body in a weird way. It's like that whole, you know, like a baby giraffe, like trying to find your way. Like, I don't know. And maybe you can coach that up, but he just at times looked awkward.
He should have had all three of those.
Let's grab Mike on the refereeing in Nashville. Hi, Michael.
Hi. First, real quick, thanks for the heads up on the Wilder Ortiz fight. That was good stuff.
Okay.
But the real reason I called was about that tripping call at the end of the game. I had no real dog in the fight, but I was enjoying the game. And when Dallas converted that first down, I said, oh, this could get interesting, right? Hard-fought game. They could march down the field. I think the pass would have stopped him, but it would have been nice to let him play it out. Instead, some phantom trip.
Okay, the tripping penalties. Let's get to that next. Let's get to the officiating next. Did you see Wilder on Saturday night?
I did not. No, I didn't want to buy the fight. I refused to buy the fight.
It was a $75 punch.
Yeah, I saw
was it that much?
The fight was $75, and our guy basically threw one punch, and he quite literally knocked the guy out. It was one of those where... Ortiz went down and his eyes weren't quite in the back of his head.
But they were close.
But it was like he had just done a whippet or a balloon or something. He was like...
Oh, I'll show you, Maz. It's like, oh, he just killed a man. Like it's a hell of a knockout.
He went down and he was like... I mean, he knocked him silly. Wilder, I thought, was that the fifth or the sixth?
Sixth, seventh, I believe.
Wasn't the knockout in the seventh?
Okay, maybe the seventh. It was the middle of the fight. Up until that point, Wilder had maybe connected on like three punches. He was doing nothing. Our guy was doing nothing. I was like, Deontay, would you please start boxing? And you're right in the middle of that. It's like, will you throw a punch? And then he popped this guy. Do you have it, Billy? Is that what you were doing there or no?
Yeah,
I had pulled it up here on Twitter. I don't know if you wanted it up. There may be swears. So
okay, don't. He just right down the middle, right on the button. And this poor Ortiz, ay, ay, ay. You know, here it is to break. So February 22nd, Wilder Fury in Vegas, and we still have to approve the new program director who has to approve that trip. Okay, so the new program director can't take over unless he pre-approves our trip to Vegas.
Oh, no. Unlike you, I see an opening between program directors. We can crawl right through.
All right, we'll get to the officiating right after this.
Ortiz trying to cut off the ring, overhand left. Now Wilder needs to get back in the center as King Kong trudges forward. A right hand! Down goes Ortiz! Oh my goodness! This This one is over. There is a reason why he is the baddest man on the planet. Example right there as Deontay Wilder has once again finished off Luis Ortiz in spectacular fashion.
Sometimes they're hot on the topic.
Yeah.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
Felger and Maz, 98.5, the Sports Hub. Felger and Maz. Sports. Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Penalty flag on the play as Elliott gets the first down. It's going to come back. That's 10-yard hold. Third and one. I really thought they'd just come out and run the football and pick it up.
Offense, number 72, 10-yard penalty, third down.
They get the center, Travis Frederick. That's the second tripping call against the Cowboys in this game. And that could be a killer. I don't like that call anymore. I like the other one they had for tripping. I didn't see anything there. I don't know about you, Mike, but it looked like a bad call to me.
All right, let's get to the officiating. Pat caught some breaks in this ballgame. What do you think, Murray?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. No, that tripping call, I still don't see where that was a trip. And maybe I just don't know the letter of the law, maybe. But I didn't really see a trip. But credit to the Patriots coaching staff, and specifically Belichick, I got to think that they called two of those on Dallas. He must have said something to the officials going into that. Hey, like, look for this.
Maybe. Maybe. Because you, there were only five in the league called all year, and you had two yesterday.
Yeah.
Five in the entire league across the league.
And that leads me to believe that Belichick said, hey, be on the lookout for something like this in this game because, you know, someone's whipping their leg up front.
Okay, so, I mean, these were key penalties. The tripping on Tyron Smith in the first quarter put him in second and 23 and killed a Dallas drive. The one there, that was a key tripping. That was on the drive that could have put him ahead, and that nullified a third and one pickup by Ezekiel Elliott. That was a key penalty. And then there was the hold.
In the end of the third quarter.
There was a hold on Tyron Smith that nullified a 15-yard gain to Cooper on a crosser over the middle on third and three at the 50.
It would have been first and 10 at the Patriots 35.
Would have been first and 10, Patriots 35, late third quarter, Cooper getting on track with a 15-yard gain going across the middle. And that was on Tyron Smith holding Jamie Collins on the edge, which was...
I think looking back at it, I think it's maybe one of the five biggest plays of the game. I mean, that completely killed the Cowboys' momentum at that point. That was a brutal, brutal hold.
Okay, so, and again, the final tripping call, which was really...
I mean, that one's...
Oh, my God, it's third and one. Elliott picks it up. That put them in third and 11, ultimately fourth and 11, and killed the drive. That was it. That was the game.
Yep.
And so, I think Aikman... Was, whether he's Cowboys biased or not, I think he was all over the call, and rightly so. He went right back to Pereira, you know, after that second tripping and went back and forth with him a little bit.
Mike, I have to ask you about that tripping call against Travis Redick. That'll go down as the biggest call here in this game.
Well, to me, now, this one is different than the first one they called. To me, he does lift his leg here, and it does make contact, which causes the defender to stumble. This one. Well, I mean, you know, it's a tough one, but when you lift your leg he did.
He's blocking, Mike.
Well, I get that.
Guy bull rushing him. I
get that he's blocking, but still, to me, he extends his leg.
Okay.
These in-the-booth refs, whether it's Pereira, whoever they have, they're all such bobos for their own, you know, for all of their own. They will always defend the call every single time. That call was brutal. If you're a Dallas fan, you probably wanted to throw your television out of your house.
Pereira was better than most. But I think he was over-defensive of his guys there. That second tripping call, in that point of the game...
It looked non-existent.
You've got to be kidding me.
I thought they both sucked. They're both garbage calls. The first one on Smith, his leg came up. I can see where it looked it, maybe, depending on the angle you were at. But it wasn't a trip. Neither one was. And I'm with Murray. I think Belichick probably saw something that says, boy, this guy lifts his leg all the time. Looks like a trip, doesn't it? It said to the officials, just watch out for this, will you? Otherwise, when do you get two of those? When do you get one?
All right, so Zoe's all over the officials every week. I hope he was critical of these calls. I'm just curious. I haven't heard this. How did Zoe react? Just give me either one, the first one or the second one. What is this? The first one? Go ahead.
Tripping
on the offense, number 77. 10-yard penalty, second down.
That is the second penalty on Tyron Smith, the outstanding left tackle for the Cowboys.
No matter how big and how wide you are, you know, if you can't, you can't match speed.
And rather than a third and 13, by declining, the Patriots put the Cowboys in a second and 23.
They called it on Smith, the left tackle? Horrendous. Horrendous call.
Okay.
They ran a game on Smith on that play prior. He got turned around. There was no trip.
Well, I lifted his right foot, and Hightower lost his balance as Smith was moving in.
It was like Hightower cut him down so they could run that game around him. Hightower's going to take Smith out. Right there. I can't believe they called
it. Third down.
Okay, good. So good on him for that one. How about the second one with the game on the line?
Trippin. Offense. 72.
Second time today.
10-yard penalty. Third down.
He wasn't held, but he was tripped for a second time. Redrick, the center. Four-time Pro Bowler. The guilty party.
I
don't know about that.
I don't see it. What are they looking at? They've called two tripping calls against Dallas that aren't there. Hey, get a call like you see it.
If the Patriots can take advantage
this
of the break with a third down and 11, 1:53 to go from the Dallas 25. Cowboys have all three timeouts remaining.
Bogus.
So if they don't convert here,
I'll take it.
Okay, good for Zoe. He called him out. Those are terrible calls.
Horrendous. Horrendous. I mean, and again, the second one in particular, a critical stage of the game.
So then what was this with Brady? You hear Brady, Billy, after the game here, whining about the clock? What was this comment?
A 7-second hang time on that throw.
It was still up in there when they stopped the clock. So, I don't know. Everyone who says Patriot gets advantages, we'll know about that.
Oh, please.
I know. I heard that one and I went, good grief. Really?
Do you think the calls went against you in this game, Tommy?
Like the two tripping calls and you're going to be bitching about the extra second that was left on the clock at the end of the game with Dallas on its own 15-yard line?
You people. And I'll give you a you people, you Patriots fans. You people. You just...
Don't look at me. He shouldn't be complaining about that. Once the ball crosses the goal line, the clock stops.
Oh, no. But to then say we don't get any breaks...
Oh, please.
That's what I'm talking about. Yes, the clock was sticky there. And the clock blew it. But, I mean, really, what are you talking about? Giving them one play at their own 20-yard line or whatever?
It was the longest second in NFL history. I'll give you that.
It was fat. You know, I didn't know the rule. The TV said the clock goes until someone touches it, or until it touches something.
Until it hits something.
Until it hits something, which means... And apparently, if you're not under pressure, there's no intentional grounding. So chuck it into the 300 level.
Correct.
You know, don't just stop by throwing in the cheerleader formation or letting some security guard or whoever, you know, because that security guard catching the ball may have kept a second on it. Aikman said that on the TV copy, and I think he might be right. If that's the real rule, that it's got to hit something, that the clock keeps going until it hits something, then throw it into the 300s. What are you doing just throwing it in the sidelines? Let it go.
I'll tell you what, Bill is going to be all over that guy, whoever it is. Like, dude, next time, don't touch the ball. Okay? And I hope to hell it wasn't John Jastrzemski.
But, you know,
who says the Patriots don't get any breaks?
Like, really?
I heard that and I went, oh, God, come on, Brady.
It plays to you people.
Like, really? What are we talking about?
But here at the adult table? Like, come on, man.
I mean, Dallas has got, you know, the ball on the 15-yard line with a second left. And you're bitching about the fact that the second didn't come off the clock. Come on, let it go.
Say we get all the breaks. Good Lord. Okay, so there's our thoughts on the officiating. What are yours? Coming up next, we do something we rarely do. We're going to bring in a special guest and give us his thoughts on the game. Terry Bradshaw standing by. Is he? Okay, we'll go to him right after Murray's 90-second update. No commercials here.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelp. LineMA.org.
Hey everyone, it's Felger here. Now, you know the Sports Hub is the place to go for everything Boston sports. Well, I'd like to introduce you to another hub, the new business hub from Cambridge Savings Bank. It's your one-stop shop for articles, tools, resources, and banking solutions that can help you start, manage, and grow your small business. It's just the latest way CSB is supporting small businesses. Check it out at cambridgesavings.com/hub. That's H-U-B. They're member FDIC.
Looking for a place to eat that has a little something for everyone? Come to Route 1 Grill House in Saugus. The most mouth-watering dishes, such as their ribs, steak tips, seafood, and pizzas. Wash it down with their extensive martini list and large selection of draft beer. Route 1 Grill House has a private function room that accommodates up to 70 guests for any function. This is the spot for you and your friends as the weather gets warmer with their outdoor seating. Come on in to the family-owned Route 1 Grill House in Saugus, the perfect place to be.